Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of The Alarm Call. Please join us this morning as Miss Joanna Bernier provides a song, followed shortly by Reverend Ron Bernier. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and enjoy today.
When I learn to listen, follow where you lead, you will keep me satisfied, give me what I need. My delight, you are my delight, I think about you daily. To love you, keep my heart on fire. You will be my everything, all that I desire. My delight, you are my delight. I think about you daily.
Good morning. I want to start off this morning by telling you that some of the statistics and figures I'm going to use this morning actually come from a sermon by Reverend Ed Barclay, but both Reverend Ed and myself have had the same burden on our heart. The Holy Spirit has given us the same burden for a long time now. So I want to use some of his statistics this morning along with my message. You will hear his message in its completion a couple weeks from now. But God has spoken to me so deeply, and I am so deeply burdened about going to the highways and byways, about inviting the rest of the people in, that God has literally dealt with the church, that part of it is literally over with, that God is now telling his people around the world, the men and the women of God, to go on to the highways and the byways and to invite in both the good and the bad. And as I shared with you last week, what that really meant, what the good and the bad really spoke of, what God was saying there. What I want to talk to you about today is your own death. You don't know anybody that lived forever. Everybody has to die sometime. The word of the Lord says, and unto every man is appointed a time to die, and then the judgment. And just now, I just came out of prayer and seeking the Lord. And just to think about judgment, just to think about standing before God, naked as we were when we came from the womb, to stand there in judgment where we will give account for every word that we ever spoke, where there will be nothing hidden. Nixon will not have any 24 minutes that were disappeared from the tape, and all of these secrets that the different countries have won't be there anymore. Everything will be answered. All of the answers and all of the guilty will be there. There won't be any little loopholes that people can use to get out of it. Those that are guilty will be found guilty, and those that have stood alongside of the Lord Jesus Christ and walked with Him and obeyed His word and walked in holiness will be shown to be the children of God and will be invited into the kingdom of heaven. And what I'd like to ask you right now, and please think about it, don't just answer it, but if you were to die today or tonight, and God forbid that you do, but some of you listening to my voice right now are going to die today. Today is a day appointed to you. You're going to die. And if it would be today or tonight, ask yourself, where would your soul be? But before you answer that question, I would like to read a few verses of Scripture for you. Those of you that have your Bibles or that are in a place where you can get at them. This is in Matthew in chapter 24, and I want to begin at verse 4, and we'll go to verse 12. Jesus is talking to His disciples here and to us. And the word of the Lord said, "And Jesus answered, and He said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in My name, saying, I am the Christ, and they shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And these are but the beginning of sorrows. And then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for My name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and they shall betray one another, and they shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold." Now, I've shared with you before that the words "wax cold" means slowly, degree by degree. In fact, it happens in such a slow way that you don't even notice it. But all of a sudden, it's there. People have been given over to so many lies, to so many deceptions, that all of a sudden they're believing total and absolute nonsense, and they don't even know how they got there. And literally at this point, if the whole world were to come to them and tell them that they were wrong, they could not accept it. They could not accept the fact that they were wrong, because the Word of God says that God, not the devil, God has given them over to this great delusion, to this great lie of Satan. God has given them over to believe this without a doubt. Why? Because they loved not the truth. What is the truth? The truth is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Word of God. They loved not the Word. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, it's that simple. If you do not love Jesus, if you do not love your Word, if you do not love to read the Word of God, if you do not love to pray, if you do not love to seek God, to walk with God, then you do not love the truth, and you will be given over unto all these things that God is speaking about. That is a chilling and an accurate description of what is about to happen. Let's look at the wars and the rumors of wars. And allow me to share with you, you can look that up. But actually, the wars and rumors of wars means religious wars and ethnic wars, ethnic cleansing. And that's happening all over the world. Somebody told me the other day that there were something like 216 wars being fought around the world right now. And I don't know if that's true. I haven't studied that. I haven't looked that up. That's just a figure that was given to me, so don't quote me on it. But I know that there's an awful lot of them. But let's just look at the ones we know about. We have Afghanistan. Iran being warned not to interfere. We have India and Pakistan. We have a tense situation developing there with the threat of a nuclear exchange. We have Iraq secretly, or I guess the whole world knows about it, building up a stockpile of chemical weapons. We, of course, have the anthrax, which they now believe came out of Texas here in the United States. We have terrorism, bioterrorism, the Korean Peninsula, the DMZ zone. They have frequent exchanges of gunfire there. We have Bosnia, Africa. The list can go on and on and on. And what about the famines in Africa and Korea and Afghanistan, the killings of millions of people? And what about the plagues like AIDS, disseminating the entire continent of Africa? Close to two-thirds of the people in Africa have AIDS right now. It is growing in plague proportions. Right now, in the former Soviet Union, in places like Thailand, and in Asia, and in many other of the third world countries, the Ebola virus, it is killing multitudes in Africa. It is spreading throughout the world. I don't know how many of you are aware of it, but the earthquakes that are growing, not only the multitude, but the intensity of them. I get a report on my computer every time an earthquake occurs that's over a certain percentage point, over, I believe it's 5 on the Richter scale. There isn't a day goes by that I don't get 3, 4, 5 notices of earthquakes that are happening. We've had more of them just recently than we've had in the past 20 years. We see these things happen every day. But what it means is this, that every single day that goes by is the closer that we get to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It could be any minute, as I've shared with you many, many times. It could be within the next 2 or 3 minutes. But the important thing is, if you die, if somebody jumps the center line and hits your car head on the way home from church this morning, or as you're driving to church, or if that little pain in your chest turns into a heart attack, or that little headache you got turns into an aneurysm or a brain hemorrhage or something, and you die from that, then that is your rapture. You're dead. You're going to stand before God. You're going to stand in a judgment. There will never be another chance to change it. Everybody thinks they're going to die in the hospital, in bed with their family present, and knowing it for many, many hours. Less than 1% of the people in the entire world die that way. The Bible is 100% accurate in what it says. It astounds me why the people will go to great lengths to find out what the future holds. Just, it seems to me every time I go by the television that they have this Miss Cleo or some other psychic on there who is telling them to send in their money, and it's only like $9.95 a minute or something like that. And there's the tarot cards and the people who do the divining. And you and I both know they can't predict the future, but God has already foretold us what is about to happen. It's written in His Word just exactly what is going to happen. He gave it to us for free. He didn't charge us for it. Remember this, please. Everything that comes from Jesus, everything that comes from God is free. There are no strings attached. Jesus said, "Come, all who would take of the water of life, and take freely, there is no charge for it." Jesus said, "Freely you have received, now freely give." That's the reason we don't ask for offerings. 35 years in the ministry, we have never asked for an offering, we have never had to, because God is able to speak unto those that He would have to help support this ministry. And when we need money, when we need the finances to stay on the air, whatever it may be, we don't go to the people, we go to God. We go to God, and we pray, and we say, "Lord, You're the one that told us to go on these stations. You're the one that told us to bring Your Word, and You're the one that has to pay the bills." And God is quite able to speak to the people that He would have to support this ministry. And if He speaks to one and that person doesn't want to, or is disobedient and rebellious unto God, God will pass over him and speak to someone else. He is looking for those who have an ear to hear the Spirit and who are willing to obey. But Jesus said these wars and the rumors of wars, they are the beginning of sorrows. He said the worst is yet to come. God forbid, and I thank Jesus that I was not near the towers in New York when they were hit by those planes. I cannot even imagine. I can't even imagine the horror that must have been. I cannot imagine the heat. I cannot imagine the destruction. I cannot imagine the death. I just can't imagine what took place there. Even though I've watched those scenes on television over and over and over again, I cannot get it into my mind what it must have been like to be there and to see that, to experience that. And I know that some of them must have suffered for a long time in that rubble. But eventually they did die, and they did stand before the living and almighty God in judgment. And Jesus said, these are but the beginning of birth pains. It is like a woman giving birth with the onset of labor pains. And I have watched my wife as she has given birth to three wonderful, beautiful, Holy Ghost, God-sent boys, and I bless and thank God for it. But I've watched those labor pains as she went through them. I cannot, as a man, fully understand what she went through. But I can remember very vividly the pain that she must have been in. I can remember that each pain got stronger and stronger until literally it wrapped around her entire body so that child could be born. Well, Jesus said, this time, this very day that you and I are living in is just like that. That these things would start to happen on a much greater scale. Can you imagine greater wars? Afghanistan is nothing, nothing compared to what's going to happen. When you see all of those starving children overseas and the flies and the death all over, that's nothing for God to the famines and the diseases will get worse and worse. The earthquakes, as bad as they are now and as many as they are now, they're going to get worse. They're going to kill tens of thousands of people. Throughout Matthew 24, which is what I just read from, there is an emphasis by Jesus on two main things, false prophets and false Christs. And I know I've been speaking on this for two or three weeks, but I have to speak that which God has put on my heart. I cannot get away from it. Believe me, if it was up to me, I would love to just give you one of those bless me messages that would make everybody happy. I'm sorry, I don't have that. I cannot give it. I can only give what God has given me. And God has told me to speak out about the false prophets and the false teachers. 4 or 5 years ago, I don't remember exactly, maybe 6 years, my wife and I were in Guyana, South America, and we were there at the same time that Morris Torello came in to have a meeting there. Supposedly, he was going to 8 different countries in 6 days, and he flew in on his own private jet. Let me tell you, that private jet that he flies around in is worth $50 million. I have a picture of it here on my desk. He has 2 full-time pilots and a stewardess that are on standby that get paid full-time. Now, the courts, who are now taking Morris Torello into court for the crimes he has committed, have an affidavit from the stewardess who says the entire inside of that plane is gold-plated. It has a gold-plated interior. He has had 3 similar private jets since then. They have a picture of his home, a $50 million home. $50 million. He's gone 70% of the time. What a waste of God's money. What a waste of God's money. And the people who really need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ can't hear it because somebody had to spend $50 million on a plane. Or they have $50 million on a plane and then $12 million on his home that he's never at. And we have so many of them. And I wonder if any of you honestly believe that Jesus Christ, if he walked the earth today, if you would see him come on TBN in the Gucci shoes and the $3,000 suits, and would he be flying a private Learjet and live in a $50 million mansion? You and I both know that the answer to those questions is no. There's no way Jesus would ever do that. But you have these televangelists sitting on the stage in their fabulous, wealthy designer clothes, crying how poor they are and how terrible things are and how they're not going to make it unless you send in money to them. And this is after they preached a 45-minute message on faith. I just can't believe it. But the worst part of it, by far, is the Christians with no discernment that just keep writing out the checks. And the Word of God says they will gather many teachers around them saying what their itching ears want to hear. And I have sat there and I have watched them people and I have looked at them. And they want to be the same way. They want that Learjet. They want that private home. They want it so bad that they have convinced themselves that if they give this guy the money, they too then can have it. You've got to look back at the apostles who could honestly before God say, silver and gold have we none, but that which we have we would give unto thee. What did they have? They had the power in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You look back at people like George Mueller, William Casey, David Livingston, Frank Bartleman from Azusa Street. You will see that their lifestyles were a complete contrast. Their own children died in their arms. But these people, these men of God, knew what true faith was. And they solely depended upon God to meet their needs. They never appealed to men for money. There was never an offering taken at Azusa Street. They appealed to God directly. Do you remember when the prophet Isaiah was sent to the king to tell him he was going to die, to get his house in order that he was going to die? What a hard message that must have been to deliver, because in those days they normally killed the messenger, the one who brought the bad news. But Isaiah obeyed the Lord, and he went in and told the king, get your house in order, for thou shalt surely die. And he turned around and he walked away. But the king, and I love this, the king turned towards the wall. He didn't go to his doctor. He didn't go to his lawyer. He didn't call for the guards to kill the prophet of God. He knew that he was a true prophet of God. He had heard the word of the Lord. But he turned to the wall and he made his appeal unto God and he cried out to God and he asked God to give him more years. And before the prophet even hit the gates, God spoke to him and said, turn around and go back. Tell him I have heard his cry, and I will add 15 more years unto his life. We need to learn something from that. We need to quit listening to all the people in the white coats. We need to quit listening to all of the doctors and all of the lawyers and all of the rest of them, and we need to get a hold of God. Don't get me wrong, I'm not against doctors. I have a very wonderful family doctor we go to ourselves. When we get sick, I go to the doctor. But before I go, I pray and I listen to God, what God would do about it. What about Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, who teach the Word of Faith teaching? Brothers and sisters, the Word of Faith teaching is another gospel. They have a different Jesus, not the one of the Bible. What about Hickey, Myers, Cephala Dollar, Morris Torello, Peter Popoff? All of these are false teachers. They are leading many astray. Before you get mad, please sit down and listen to what I have to say. I know what I'm talking about because I have studied this and I have looked this up and I have the tapes and I have the records. I have the actual recordings of the night that they spoke this. For example, I have a recording of Kenneth Copeland saying that the biggest failure in the Bible, hear me, he said the biggest failure in the Bible was God. He said Jesus was an impotent individual who could do nothing to help him. He said that he, get this, Copeland said that he himself could have hung on the cross and died for your sins and done a better job than Jesus. He said Jesus had to go to hell and take on a satanic nature for 3 days so he could be born again. Copeland said, I was already born again. I could have done it myself. Who are you going to choose for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ or Copeland? I have clearly declared who my Savior is. He is the Lord Jesus Christ and not Copeland. If you don't believe me, buy the book, What Happened from the Cross to the Throne by Kenneth Copeland. He says he could have died to take away your sins because he was a born-again man. And to say that Jesus Christ had to take on a satanic nature, what a blasphemous thing to say. I just can't believe it. Know where you have put your money. Know where you have put your trust. Think about it for a moment. Jesus Christ, who is the creator of all, who is God, dying spiritually? Think of it. If Jesus died spiritually, then there would have been a separation in the Godhead. God would not exist. We would not exist. The universe would have destroyed itself 2,000 years ago. And yet Christians will lap this garbage up. I weep when I think of the thousands that are going to go into the pit because they follow blind guides like Copeland and Hinn and that whole company out of TBN. I have my own definition of TBN. And I'll keep that to myself, but it's not what they call it. And those that are involved in Freemasonry, and there's a lot of them, Freemasonry, and yet they are sitting behind the pulpit, and they are the pastors. They call themselves pastors of God, supposedly hearing from God. Albert Pike, in his book Morals and Dogma, said this, a 33-degree Mason, and he quoted them, gave a call to all the 33rd, 32nd, 31st, and 30th degrees, and in there, and it's quoted, he said, "We have maintained the purity of the Luciferian doctrine. If Lucifer would not God, was not God, then why would the God of the Christians bother to spread so many harmful statements about him? Yes, Lucifer is God." That is an exact quote. We have the quote in a number of books, and we will gladly send it to you because we've researched it, and we have the information. Know who you're listening to. The same is for the Mormons. Ask your pastor if he is a Mason. Ask him if he's been to those initiations. He cannot tell you what they are because he has been sworn to secrecy. And if he did it, his intestines would be ripped out, his throat would be cut. If your pastor is a Mason, then either have him removed or leave and find another church. If your pastor is in to moral decay, as so many of them are, into adultery, leave, find another church. I'm asking you today, brothers and sisters, to cry out unto God, the true God. Ask him to come into your life, be the Lord of your life, to save you, that you might be born again of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God be with each one of you, and may God bless you abundantly. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to tune in again next week to hear your alarm call. Remember, should you wish to reach us, you can do so on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. If you wish to call us, you can do so at 417-335-4529. Should you wish to give prayer requests to us, you can do that on the World Wide Web at our website, either via the guest book or via email. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, have a blessed day in the name of Jesus.